Sometimes I like to come up with some snazzy illustrations to help make my point. But if I did today, it would probably fall short of the vinegar and baking soda. So I'm grateful today that I don't have any snazzy illustrations to try and compete. I would fall short, I'm afraid. Last week, we talked about betrayal, in which we saw that it was the activity of throwing oneself in on the side of an enemy at the worst possible time. Well, today we're going to take a look at denial, and denial is the action of declaring something to be untrue, the refusal of something requested or desired, the contrary of affirming. Now, we're here in the midst of Jesus giving his final words to the disciples. And it's within this that certainly he is going to be giving a command and a caution with a passage in front of us here today. John chapter 13, beginning at verses 31 through 38. Would certainly encourage you to open your Bible and follow along. We'll begin by seeing the discussion of departure in verses 31 through 33. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come." Judas has left. Okay, he went out to do his business of betraying Christ. And once Judas has done this, Jesus very clearly is saying, hey, not that the glorification is going to come later. This is already starting those chain of events in which the Son is glorified now, right now. That the process is beginning immediately. And we have seen John talk about this time and time again. Obviously, this is extraordinarily important to the message that John is trying to give to his reader. There is absolutely no separation between the glory of the Father and the glory of the Son. The glory that the Father has is the glory the Son has. The Father shares perfectly his glory with the Son. The Son shares perfectly his glory with the Father. Now, it's strange to us to figure out in our minds how that this glorification, this supreme glorifying event of all time is Christ dying on the cross. That very thing that seems like a little bit of a subject of pain and defeat is the very event that is going to be bringing glorification. And of course, as we consider that, we know that John is wanting to make this very clear. You've heard me say it before. I will clarify it again next week as we head into John chapter 14. But with the completion of the cross, the Son of God, who came to be revealing the Father and has done it so well, passed the cross. There is no commonality. There is no association of the God of Christianity with the God of Judaism. And for those that we will hear in our day that some way there's a connection because of the Old Testament of the God of Islam, they are not, because Jesus so specifically tells us The glory of the Father is in the Son. You cannot have any glorifying of the Father. You cannot have any relationship with God apart from His Son. Anything contrary to that statement will not be upheld with any scrutiny from Scripture. If you deny the Son, you deny the Father. You have no way of establishing a relationship with the Father apart from the Son. So now as Jesus is beginning to talk about this, we can see that there in verse 33, my children, this is a very much a term of endearment. He understands where he's at with this. He's got to tell these guys something they aren't prepared to hear in a very, very short period of time. I'm going to be leaving. And where I'm going, you can't come with me. And he knows this is going to be troubling. It's going to be hard for them to receive. But now he just kind of changes gears here real quick. Distinguishing identification delivered. Verses 34 and 35. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Jesus seems to really be jumping a subject here. He's talking about his departure. And boom, he jumps in and he says, hey, I give you a new command. And yet we're familiar with how that this doesn't sound so new. Over in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, it reads, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So what Jesus is saying here is he's not giving us something new in terms of it's never been heard before. Jesus is giving us a new command. Why? Because it is based upon a relationship with him. Because believers will have a relationship with him, it automatically changes their relationship with one another. And as it says in there, by this will all men know you are my disciples, if you love one another. Jesus is giving this as the uniform. He's giving it as the ID badge. That if there was anything that was going to distinguish the Christian from the rest of the world, this is it. That there's something special going on between the relationship that believers in Jesus have with Jesus and how that automatically has a synthesis in their life that changes their relationship with one another. And I think it's so easy for us to go through this passage and just go ripping through it and say, okay, here we go. Here's the identifying mark of the Christian. Remember for just a second, what were the disciples talking about before the whole meal started? Who's going to be the greatest? Okay, so in other words, what Jesus is saying, that if you love like I love, you're going to be concerned about the mutual spiritual benefit of one another and the kingdom that I have come to build. There is not going to be competition between you. This is what he's saying when he's saying love one another. There is no corporate ladder in church. We're familiar with it out there. What Jesus is saying is don't let a corporate ladder sneak itself into the building. We aren't in competition with one another. We're all on the same team. This is what Jesus is communicating to his disciples. No spirit of competition, but a spirit like mine that in humility will sacrificially love you to the point of death. That you will be able to be like me. So within this, we know that this is rather clear, that love is the distinguishing mark of the Christian. It begs the question, how well do people know that we are committed followers of Christ? They will determine the truth of that on how well we love one another. Jesus isn't giving us a good suggestion here. He's telling us the way things have to be, the way they must be. You will be known as a follower of me if you truly love one another. Now, certainly we know this is not natural for us, and this is something we could easily fake, but the real deal, true Christian love is sourced in the Spirit that Christ gives us. Number three, determination, no, denial. Verses 36 through 38. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Now, for those of us that have been in the church for a while, we really appreciate Peter. Because even though we may not want to openly admit it, we've all made boneheaded decisions in our life that act contrary to our faith. And we kind of embarrass ourselves. And it's just nice to know we wouldn't have to be the I acted opposite my faith poster child. Peter's already got his picture up there. Gives us a chance to get off the hook. So we love Peter, but within this, can you see what's happening? Jesus is telling the disciples about his departure. He's going to be leaving them. And then he goes on and he says, and you guys, knock off any sense that in the spiritual realm there could be competition. You're all on the same team. You're all in relationship with me. This is what Peter has just heard. And what does Peter do? Does he take a moment to consider the words that Jesus has just given him? No. What does Peter do? Lord, I know you just gave us a command, but I've got a question about your departure. Way to go, Peter. So he changes the subject back to the departure. And Peter's wondering, you know, it's like, Jesus, I got some questions here. Jesus demonstrates he knows exactly what Peter's question is, so he gives him some clarification. Where I'm going now, you can't follow me, but you will follow me later. So in other words, don't worry, Peter, you'll catch up. And as I die a sacrificial death, you will die a martyr's death. Wonderful, Peter. You know, he's jumping in here, and of course, what's he thinking? Now, wait a minute, Lord. I don't mean to brag, but you take a look at everybody else in the room. I love you best. I love you most. I will stand for you regardless. I am willing to lay down my life for you. This is perfectly evident as a genuine, true statement. As the guards come up to arrest Jesus in the garden, and Peter reaches over and grabs a knife and pulls off a Van Gogh. Peter was that guy. So what's the problem? The problem is, is that Peter was acting in his own strength. Peter was convinced in his own heart that he would, in no certain circumstances, deny Jesus. I love him and I will stand for him even if I die. It would have been much easier for Peter, as it would be for us, to die for Christ than it is to live for him. So Peter wasn't understanding what was at stake, what was going on. But we do know that Peter had full confidence in himself, and yet he had to reconcile somehow these strong feelings he has about his own devotion, his own commitment to Christ. And yet he hears Christ's words. What awful, harsh words to hear. Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Not once. Not twice. Three times Peter would deny Jesus. You know, here he was completely convinced he would stand for Jesus regardless of anything. Peter was so sure. He could not imagine himself failing in this very regard. And yet, Peter is hearing what Jesus is saying, and he's like, oh, wow. Peter knows Jesus. Okay, Peter, the one who is willing to interrupt, the one who is willing to question, the one who is willing to comment, the one who is willing to act, is absolutely and completely silent from this point until Jesus finishes his discussion in the garden and he goes and is arrested. Peter does not say a peep. Why? Because he heard Jesus. He heard Jesus' words. And the man was undone from the inside out. He had no more comments. He had no more questions. He sat in silence as Jesus continued to prepare his disciples for what was coming right around the corner. We can so easily feel wonderful about our feelings towards Jesus. I mean, we will stand up and shout. We will just carry on about how, man, Jesus Christ is my life. And yet, we need to realize, like Peter, he got himself into trouble because he was relying on his own strength, on his own devotion, on his own commitment to Christ. He wasn't making it a spiritual exercise. And of course, if we pay attention to this, just like Jesus got Peter's attention, may we be able to learn more easily than Peter did, because that would certainly save us from undue pain and embarrassment. As we're looking at this rather awkward passage in which he's talking about his departure, he comes and he gives a commandment, and then we get thrown in there, we're introduced to Peter's denial. How do we at Clear Lake Christian Church take this passage and put it into our lives? Well, here's a couple suggestions. Number one, ask yourself, is love my distinguishing mark? Is supernatural, God-enabling love evident in my life? We all know that it's the way it is supposed to be. We are to possess it. We are to display it. By this will all men know you are my disciples. The key, of course, is not the availability of God's resources to pull this off. We all know, we've all referred to Ephesians 1:3 so many times. We've got this giant warehouse of every spiritual blessing there can possibly be with our name on it. So that if we need it, God doesn't have to produce it. It's already there waiting. And yet the problem is we let ourselves get in the way. We're relying on our strength, on our abilities, on what we know about ourselves. And in so doing, we can create ourselves quite a problem. We've got to get ourselves out of the way. The Spirit within us is what gives us the ability to set aside our will, our desires, our competitiveness, that we can truly serve Him here at Clear Lake Christian Church. We're all on the same team. And Jesus is telling us that if we love Him, we need to love that team. We want to serve Jesus, then we serve Jesus by serving and loving one another. Number two, take heed. Do not attempt God's work in your own strength. Peter was so sure of himself. He was absolutely certain of his devotion to Christ, and there is no way that he would deny. You know, with Peter, if you go back there real quick, in the first few verses where Jesus is telling his disciples, where I'm going, you can't follow. He doesn't say it, but he means it. So don't even try. What did Peter do? The others abandoned Jesus, but not Peter. He followed from a ways off, and he's keeping an eye on him the whole time. And if Peter had listened to Jesus' words instead, he wouldn't have been following from a distance. He would have kept himself out of the way. If Peter had not been there, he could not have denied Christ. Peter, the one who was following close, who in all appearances looked like he was doing what the dutiful disciples should have done, didn't hear the words of Jesus. That should be a real caution to us. I know I have, and I know some of you have, gotten so excited about an idea of what God wants to do in our midst. We as a church are blessed. We are looking at all of the exciting things that our church is doing and where we're going. And we are excited about how the Spirit of God is going to unfold itself in our presence and take us places we have never been before. And that's a tremendous amount of excitement, but within that comes from Jesus himself a word of caution. We can get so full of ourselves, so excited about an idea we may have. Is it his? Before we proceed with anything, the question must be asked, Lord, have I paused long enough to let you speak to me? To let us hear from you? Are these our ideas or are they yours? Because we certainly do not want to put ourselves in the same position that Peter did. Our confidence has got to be in the spiritual, not in the physical. Yes, Jesus Christ loves us without limits and has enabled us to do his work. But we cannot, we dare not allow confidence in ourselves to cause us to fail for whatever we do next, for spiritual greatness in this church is not going to come from my ability or yours. It is going to come from His. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Father, we thank you that in a passage that seems to go several different directions all at once, Lord, that your Holy Spirit can make it make sense to us. We've been given an ID badge, a uniform that we are to wear consistently, that we love one another. We have seen in Peter's example how that he rushed ahead of the word of the Lord and got himself in trouble. Though he meant well, though he was doing what he thought was best, he didn't get himself out of the way. Lord, may we learn from these examples that, Lord, we will be soldiers in line listening to your word to work for your kingdom. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. As we come to the close of our service today, I kind of envision this thing kind of like a flash mob. I've just told you to demonstrate the love of Christ. We have visitors here with us today, and some of them are seated fairly close to the back. I don't want you pushing anybody. I don't want you tripping anybody. But if you're going to get them and let them know that the love of Jesus is in you, you're going to have to hasten your way. And let them know that the love of Christ is doing well at Clear Lake Christian Church. As we come to the end of our service, please stand. Certainly want to give anybody that would have a decision that they would want to make public that opportunity. Perhaps you're a believer in Jesus Christ and have never committed yourself to Him through the waters of baptism. If you would like to do that, just come up and let us know, and we will take it from there. Perhaps you've been worshiping with us for a while, and you'd like to become members of Clear Lake Christian Church. Well, if you wanted to come up here and let us know of your intent, then we would scrutinize you, and then after we meet, then we'll come back and give you final approval. It really isn't a tough process. Don't be intimidated. Look around. Look who we've already got here. You're okay. If you've never realized the glory of the Father through the glory of the Son, today is the day of salvation. If you have a need that you just want to kneel before the Lord and pray, you can do it where you are. You can come up here, sit in the front row. You can kneel on the steps. The one benefit of kneeling on the steps is I promise somebody will join you. Let us look to the Lord. Father, we thank you and praise you that we have gathered together today to worship you, to hear a word from you, that, Lord, our lives would be a little bit more conformed to your image, to your character, which is dominated by love. Lord, may we be good representatives of yours in this community. Lord, we pray for the activities of this week. May we honor you in and through them all. As we seek to make a difference with our May baskets, as we seek to make a difference with our share event in which people can come and get whatever they need and take it out without a cost. Lord, this love that you have built in us, may it dominate our lives, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.